So I'd like to tonight, because when I was trying to prepare this class today on Lord Chaitanya, I discovered that most of the things I had on the list to talk about Lord Chaitanya, we've already talked about them in relationship to Jagannath Puri and also in relationship to Lord Jagannath himself. So I thought that instead I'd like to show some slides here, just a few of the dioramas and pictures, to speak a little, and then we can speak about the pastime of cleansing the Gundicha temple. And for everybody, I don't know if we have enough, but we can get more. We have a little container of dust from the Gundicha temple, so we can give those out at the end of the class. So now we can see some slides. He gave up his pastimes of teaching so many students, and he simply engaged himself in the Sankirtan movement. Then, even though his mother begged him in so many ways not to leave because she feared that he would do so, he actually ended up leaving Navadvip, taking sannyas. Here we see the Baba. Nobody wants to do it. It says that crowds and crowds of people came and they were all crying. Then the Baba shaved his beautiful hair, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. After he had accepted sannyas, he wandered for some time in Radhadesh, and then he was brought to the house of Advaita Acharya, as we know. And from there, Satyadevi gave him permission to go to Jagannath Puri. So the Lord went to Jagannath Puri in a maddened state. He would stand at the Garuda Stamba, and he would take darshan from there of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra and Balaram. He would not come any closer than that. And at his feet there was a pit, and that pit was always full of tears. And sometimes, as particularly when the Lord first arrived, he fainted on the ground, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was informed and brought him to his house. So the Lord was constantly experiencing a mood of separation, and so many transcendental emotions were there. And also, sometimes there was many festivals of Lord Jagannath, such as this one at Narendra Sarovara, where the Lord and his devotees would attend with Sankirtan pastimes. Here we see the Lord welcoming the Bengali Vaishnavas who would come for 4 months of every year to attend the Rathyatra festival. They would stay for the Chaturmas months, and then they would return again to their homes in Bengal. But whilst they were in Bengal, all they could think of was how they could again get the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Here we see the Lord ecstatically dancing before the Rathyatra cart. It says that the tears would come from his eyes like a syringe, and would soak everyone who was nearby. And meanwhile, he would be constantly chanting this one verse, which we will also read. Then in Gambira at night, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, they would be the Lord's constant companions. And throughout the night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be feeling immense feeling of separation in the mood that Srimati Radharani felt when Krishna went to Mathura. Here we see the pastime of Maharaj Prataparudra, the king, who was extremely anxious to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually, interestingly enough, he obtained the Lord's mercy. He became very pleased with him, because although the Mahaprabhu was very much expressed external indifference, in fact, aversion to seeing the king, when Ramananda Roy, who was the minister of the king, had been requested by Lord Chaitanya to leave his government post and come and live in Jagannath Puri, when he requested the king that he please give him permission to do this, The king in every way facilitated Ramananda Roy's service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he himself was being avoided by Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noted this, the magnanimous attitude of the king, and he had devised a plan through his devotees to give Maharaj Prataparudra his mercy. So during the Rath Yatra, on the advice of the devotees, the king dressed himself as a humble Vaishnava, and he came to Mahaprabhu while he was sleeping in the garden of Jagannath Balava, resting during the kirtan, and he began to massage Mahaprabhu's legs. And while he was massaging his legs, he began to chant the verses of Gopi Geet, particularly the verse Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam. And when Mahaprabhu heard this verse, he became so moved, and he, although internally he knew that this was the king, he pretended he had no knowledge of who this person was, but he became so pleased and he embraced him for his presentation. And the king, finally, after a great deal of struggle and endeavor, he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly in this way. It is said in Chaitanya Chandradoya Natak that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when actually it's in Bhakti Ratnakar, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, that Maharaj Prataparudra was not present at that time. He was in Katak. So he was also feeling great bereavement when he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes had finished. But the Lord was greatly merciful to Maharaj Prataparudra. And it was for his pleasure that the Chaitanya Chandradoya Natak, two different plays by Kavi Kanpur, and also the Jagannath Bala Natak, Jagannath Priya Natak, which was written by Ramananda Roy, they were both dedicated to Maharaj Prataparudra. Here we see the Lord when he was caught in the net of the fisherman, when he mistook the ocean for the Jamuna, and seeing the pastimes of Krishna, he ran and jumped into the ocean, and he spent the whole night being tossed around by the waves of the ocean, up and down, sometimes submerged under the waves, sometimes floating on top of the waves. And finally one fisherman who was fishing throughout the night, he caught the Lord in his net and thought that he had a very strong and healthy fish. And when he pulled in the net and touched the Lord's body, he became also mad with ecstatic emotions, and he couldn't stop chanting and chanting and chanting. And out of great fear, he left the net and he ran along the sea beach madly, wondering where he could find somebody to exorcise this ghost that had entered into his body. So while he was going like that, Swarup Damodar and the other devotees found him, and they understood what this signified, and they begged him to take them to where the Lord was. And when they came and they saw the Lord's body, which was bleached white from being in the water all night, and his limbs were extended, his joints were extended in his ecstatic trance, they felt great remorse to see the Lord in this way, and they began to chant. They surrounded him and began to chant to him. In this way they brought him back to external consciousness. I think that's all. So these were just a few slides for tonight, today. The day after tomorrow we'll have some general slides of different places in Puri. So the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri take up most of the Madhya Leela and all of the Antya Leela. So when I sat down to try to think which ones we should talk about, I found one very nice one, and then another nice one, and another nice one, until I became quite confused as to what we should speak about in the short time that we have to speak. But it's important to note that Jagannath Puri was the place where the Lord came to fulfill his three desires. During his previous pastimes in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna desired to enjoy three different types of ecstasy. But despite great endeavor, he could not taste them. These ecstasies are the monopoly of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in order to taste them, Sri Krishna accepted the position of Srimati Radharani in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By personally tasting the mellows of love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his direct disciples the process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent incarnation of the touchstone of love of God. He does not consider whether one is a proper or improper recipient, but he gives his treasure to everyone and anyone. Thus he is the most munificent. So Srila Prabhupada says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's capital is the touchstone of love of Godhead. And consequently, he is a great owner of that transcendental treasure. After making unlimited amounts of gold, the touchstone remains the same. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although distributing love of Godhead unlimitedly, still remained the supreme owner of this transcendental opulence. His devotees who learned it from him also had to distribute it munificently all over the world. This Krishna consciousness movement, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees, is also trying to distribute love of Godhead all over the world through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then Kaviraj Goswami goes on to say, No one, not even Lord Brahma, can ascertain or even taste a drop of this confidential ocean of ecstasy. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, has distributed this love of Godhead all over the world. Thus there cannot be any incarnation more munificent than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who can describe his transcendental qualities. Then he goes on to say that such topics, meaning the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and particularly his ecstatic moods, are not to be discussed freely, because if they are, no one will understand them. Such are the wonderful pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unto one who is able to understand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown mercy by giving him the association of the servant of his own servant. So this is the means that one can understand the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one has received his mercy, that means he will give us the association of somebody who is serving somebody, who is serving somebody, who is serving him. And by giving this association, then one can become fit to actually understand these ecstatic pastimes. I was thinking when I was reading and preparing this class, how I remember as a young devotee reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in very, very early stages, and I found it very difficult to relate to the different bodily transformations that the Lord would appear in. And in fact, thinking materially, not having any reference to such transcendental things, they seemed almost repulsive. They sound like they would be extremely ugly. And we have no experience in this world of anything with which we can compare them to say, well, it must be something like this or something like that. We can only hear them. And by hearing them, then gradually, they become we become more compatible with that. They become more easy for us to understand. So even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives this advice. He goes on to say that the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the topmost of jewels. They have been kept in the storehouse of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who has explained them to Raghunath Das Goswami, who has repeated them to me, Krishnadas Kaviraj. Whatever little I have heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, I have described in this book, which is presented to all the devotees. And then he goes on to say, if one does not understand in the beginning, but continues to hear again and again the wonderful effects of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes will bring love for Krishna. So if we don't understand in the beginning, we can't relate to these stories, but we hear them with faith. That means we don't try to place them through our intelligence. Repeatedly I have said this in all of our classes. We have to hear these pastimes. And if we say, I can't relate to this, still we should hear, but we shouldn't try to put them through our analytical intelligence and say, does that mean, and that means, and probably that means, and try to work out with our intelligence. Because our intelligence is infinitesimally small, and these pastimes are unlimitedly deep. And this is the most frustrating part, because when we read them, we can only catch just a tiny glimpse of what's actually being spoken. And also, as we read them, we see they are given in the form of codes. And if they were even spoken in greater and greater depth, still only to the degree of our capacity would we be able to relate to what is being spoken. So then Kaviraj Goswami encourages us by saying that by hearing these pastimes, gradually one will come to understand the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis and the other associates of Vrindavan. Everyone is advised to continue to hear over and over again in order to greatly benefit. Then he gives some defense to those people who say that the Chaitanya Chaitamrita is full of so many Sanskrit verses, therefore it is very difficult to understand. And he explains that no, he has given everything very simply. He has given the essence. This here is speaking now in Madhya Lila 2. So he's got, you could say, he's done about a third or a quarter of the book, and he's already giving his benedictions here because he didn't know if he was going to live to complete the book. So he's summarized in Madhya Lila 1 and 2 all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri and South India, and also on his travels to Jagannath Puri, thinking that perhaps at any time he may die. He says then, this is the mood of humility of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I worship herewith the lotus feet of all kinds of devotees, both advanced and neophyte. I request all of them to be satisfied with me. I am faultless because I have written herein whatever I have understood from Swarup Damodar Goswami and Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. I have neither added nor subtracted from their version. So Prabhupada says in the purport that Kaviraj Goswami is saying, let the neophyte devotees, and this is a definition, the devotees who are very expert in arguing, although they have no sense of advanced devotional service. So this is the definition of a neophyte devotee. They love to argue. They like to pull things apart and say, no, no, that's wrong. And anyway, you made a mistake there. And how do you know? And where did you find out? And on and on and on. But they have no taste and no sense of what is advanced devotional service. And they think themselves very advanced because they imitate some smarter Brahmin. Let these devotees not be displeased with me, thinking that I have committed some errors in their regard. I beg their pardon with great humility, but I am submitting that I personally have no desire to add or subtract anything. I have only written what I have heard in disciplic succession because I am dedicated to the previous acharyas. I have only written what I have learnt from them. So now, we'll proceed on to hear about the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. So this story is it's a very significant story. It takes place in chapter 12 of the Madhya Lila. And the story begins with Maharaj Prataparudra's anxiety. He's wanting at this stage, he has not yet had the opportunity of taking the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as we saw in the slides. And so he sent a letter from his capital at Cuttack, which is about 2 hours from Jagannath Puri, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, asking him, please, could you arrange somehow that I could meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And then he said, please submit my appeal to all of the devotees, that somehow or other, if I could meet the Lord, I would be very grateful. He says, by the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And without his mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. So he says, if the Lord will not show mercy to me, I will give up my kingdom and become a beggar and go door to door. So when the Bhattacharya heard this, he became very worried. And he called all the devotees together and asked them what should be done. But they understood that the king had so much devotion for the Lord, but they also knew that the Lord would not want to see the king. So they thought about this. And then, after discussion, they decided they would all go and they would approach Lord Chaitanya and tell him of the king's request. But when they got there and they arrived in front of the Lord, and he said to them, "What have you come here to say? I see that you want to tell me something, but none of you speak. Why?" They all became tongue-tied, and they were all very nervous, and none of them wanted to present this appeal to the Lord. So then Nityananda Prabhu spoke, and he said, "We want to ask you something. Although we cannot stay without speaking, we're also very much afraid to speak. We want to submit to you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this, that unless you meet him, the king of Orissa is planning to become a beggar." So then he talked on further, explaining this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu's mind, he internally felt very much softened to see the devotion of the king, and he was very much impressed. But externally, he wished to speak some harsh words. So he said, "I can understand that you all desire to take me to Cuttack to see the king." And then he said, "What to speak of spiritual advancement? All the people of the world will blaspheme me. And what to speak of all the people? Damodar will chastise me." So we read in another chapter of how Damodar Pandit, he was very expert at examining everyone's behavior and making corrections. He was very simple and honest, but he wanted everything to be done properly. And one time when one young boy would come and visit the Lord, very, very affectionately the Lord would speak with him, Damodar Pandit couldn't tolerate this. And he tried many times to tell the boy not to come. But the boy, because he loved Mahaprabhu, he ignored Damodar Pandit's insistence and he came anyway. So finally one day when the young boy was leaving, then Damodar Pandit went directly to Mahaprabhu and said, "It's very amazing that you, who are the teacher of the whole world, could act in a way that is so contrary." So then Mahaprabhu was asking, "What is your meaning?" And he explained that this boy is very nice, but he has a mother who's unmarried, she's a widow, and her only fault, she's very pious, very chaste, everything is very nice, but she has one fault, and that is that she's young and beautiful. So everyone in Puri will be criticizing you because you're seeing this boy, they will think there is some connection there." So Mahaprabhu, he understood the mind of Damodar Pandit and what he was trying to say. But Srila Prabhupada points out, interestingly enough, in the purport, while he gives warning that one should never criticize his spiritual master in this way that Damodar Pandit was doing, that while Damodar Pandit is warning the Lord that others will criticize him, he himself is criticizing him. So we should be very careful of this. So in the same way as we can understand there's a depth to Mahaprabhu's pastimes, shortly after that he called Damodar Pandit and he told him, "I want you to go now and stay in Navadvip." And he actually sent him back to Navadvip. He gave him the assignment that he should take care of Mother Sachi and he should encourage her to know that I'm always there thinking of you. And he should, because he's so strict, no one will dare to do anything wrong wherever he is. So he will regulate the behavior of all the Bengali devotees. They'll all act very nicely because they'll be so afraid of Damodar Pandit. So this is Damodar. So the Lord is saying, if I go and see the king, what will Damodar say? He'll be so upset with me and he will chastise me. So then, after speaking in this way, Mahaprabhu indicated that he would not meet the king under any circumstances, unless, he said, "But I shall do so if Damodar gives his permission." So of course Damodar Pandit, this is something that he would never give permission to. So this was his way of putting the subject matter. "Oh, actually, I beg your pardon," Damodar immediately replied. "My Lord, you are the fully independent Supreme Lord. Since everything is known to you, you know what is permissible, and you know what is not permissible. I am an insignificant jiva, so what power do I have to give you directions? By your own personal choice, you will meet the king. I shall certainly see it. The king is very much attached to you, and you are feeling affection and love towards him. Thus I can understand that by the virtue of the king's affection for you, you will touch him. Although you are the supreme lord and are completely independent, still you are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees. This is your nature. So we see here that although the Lord is completely independent, he's impartial, he's equal to everyone, but he's so much attached and so much partial to those who love him. So this is the special nature that we should understand when we see the pastimes or hear the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. It explains in another chapter that if one sees the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya externally, he won't really understand them properly. Because in so many cases, as in the case of Chota Haridas, the Lord acted in a very strict and almost seemingly very severe way. So if one only sees the outer form of the pastime and thinks that's the full meaning, he will actually miss out on properly understanding what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's loving mood. So this continues this story with the king. They send a cloth to the king, and the king worships that cloth. Then they ask for the son of the king to come, and the son of the king comes, and the Lord embraces the son, and he becomes a great devotee. But still the king doesn't get the darshan. Then we're preparing for the beginning of the Rath Yatra ceremony. And then, at that time, Kazi Misra and the superintendent of the Jagannath temple and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, these three personalities, Kazi Misra is the king's priest, the king's minister, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the king's panda, priest, and the temple superintendent asked the Lord to please wash the temple known as Gundicha. So the Gundicha temple is 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. And at the time of Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood that the wife of Indradyumna Maharaj, her name was Gundicha Devi. And it is said that in this Gundicha temple, that Lord Jagannath was carved. Prabhupada gives the area of the Gundicha temple as 288 cubits by 215 cubits, and the main temple inside is 36 cubits by 30 cubits, and the meeting hall is 32 cubits by 30 cubits. So then the Lord went there to clean the Gundicha temple. He says, the king gave a special order that without delay we should deliver whatever your lordship orders. You will need many water pots and brooms, so therefore order me and I will immediately bring these things. So they brought hundreds of brooms and hundreds of water pots to clean the temple. And the next day, early in the morning, the Lord took all of his personal associates with him, and with his own hand, he put sandalwood pulp on all of their bodies, all of them. Then he gave every devotee a broom with his own hand. And taking all of them personally, they all went with their brooms to the Gundicha temple. So you can imagine how ecstatic it was. Each one had their own broom, and they had chandan on their heads, placed by the Lord himself, and they were going to clean the temple. So they went, and they first started cleaning the temple with brooms. They cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. And then they took the sitting place, the singhasana, and they cleaned that and put it back in its original place. Then they started cleaning outside and sweeping all the small buildings and all the different rooms. And hundreds of devotees were eagerly engaged in cleansing all around the temple. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally carried out the operations just to instruct others. So we can imagine what an ecstatic pastime this would have been to take part in. And 18 years the Lord did this. So many times he cleaned the temple. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees also chanted at the same time as performing their duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt, and in this way it became transcendentally beautiful. At times when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places he even cleansed with those tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept was cleansed, and the yard was cleansed, and all the residential quarters were cleansed one after another. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw and dust and grains and sand in one place, and he gathered it up in his own cloth, and he threw it all outside. So then, following his example, all the devotees picked up all the dust and straw and things they had collected and threw them outside. Then the Lord said, I can tell who is working hard, who is actually trying to cleanse the temple, by the size of the pile of dust and dirt that they have collected from within the temple. So all the devotees collected dirt, even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greater. So he collected more than all of them together. And then when the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to clean. So he cleaned it two times. He ordered everyone to clean inside the temple perfectly by taking the finer dust, the straws and the grains of sand and throwing them outside. So first it was a general cleansing took place of the temple. And as we know in this pastime, this is symbolic of the cleansing that has to take place within our hearts before the Lord can sit there. So they cleaned a second time, and then they got the water pots, and they stood in a line to Lake Indradyumna, and hundreds of men carried pots backwards and forwards, and they'd fill up the pots and pass them down, and pass the back the empty ones, and in this way they were passing them backwards and forwards. So hundreds of water pots started appearing on the scene, one after another, and they were pouring water everywhere. And first they washed the main temple, the ceilings, the walls, the floor, and the sitting place. And then they began to throw water up on the roof and the ceiling, and when the water fell down, it washed the walls and it washed the floor. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the sitting place with his own hands. And then all the devotees began cleansing in the same way. And as they were bringing the water, sometimes they would collide with each other and the pots would break, and everything was so ecstatic. So as they were doing like this, gradually the water started rushing out of the Gundicha temple like a river. So hundreds of devotees brought pots of water, and hundreds took empty pots away to fill them again. Everyone was engaged in filling water pots and bringing them there. Some people were filling and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy names of Krishna and Hari. So as soon as the whole place was clean, then the Lord was looking at it, and while he was looking, one very clever Vaishnava from Bengal, he came out very quickly and swiftly behind the Lord while he was looking and examining everything, and he poured some water on the Lord's feet and drank it. And seeing this, Lord Chaitanya became a little unhappy and outwardly angry. And the Lord was actually pleased with him, but he became angry externally to establish religious principles. And he called Swarup Damodar and he said, just look at the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple. Not only that, he has drunk the water himself. I do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me. At this point, Swarup Damodar caught the Vaishnava by the neck, and giving him a little push, he got him out of the temple very quickly. Then he returned to the temple, and he asked the Lord to excuse that innocent person. So then after that, the Lord was very pleased, and they all sat down, and then they picked up all the straws and dirt and everything. And then the Lord said, I shall gather everyone's collection, and I shall ask whoever who has collected less to pay a fine of sweets and sweet rice. So in this way, everything was cleansed. And then after that, the roads outside were cleansed and everything became spotless and very beautiful. So then Srila Prabhupada, following Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary, in text 135, he refers to how This cleansing of the Gundicha temple also is related to our cleansing of our heart. So he says something very nice in here. He says that if the devotee wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Shrinvindam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridanta sto hridabhadrani vidyunoti suritsatam. He says that this is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. So this is very hopeful. It's not that we have to cleanse our heart and then the Lord will come. But the Lord is already seated there, so he will help us with the cleansing process. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give directions. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee therefore has to cleanse his heart, just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. So then he talks more about what this means. He says that one should not attempt material upliftment or trying to understand the Lord by speculation. And he says that as soon as these things are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as the Lord's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts until our hearts are cleansed. So the Lord is there, and he's wanting to give direction. But because our heart is not clean, we cannot perceive his presence and we cannot understand his direction. Then he goes on to say that one is suffering due to his past fruitive activities, and he cannot counteract his suffering by performing any kinds of activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way sufferings can be removed is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing, the cleansing of the heart begins. So then he goes on to explain different types of activities which constitute the various dirts in the heart. But unfortunately, again, we're running short of time to go through these. But it would be very helpful to any of the devotees who would like to read this chapter, Madhya Lila 12, by themselves. They'd find great benefit in reading this part. It says also that by practical activity, the Lord informed how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival of distributing prasad and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. This is a very powerful statement. They accept a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning, and those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. So Srila Prabhupada is using this word here, acharya. He uses this word sometimes to mean a very elevated person who is following an example or setting an example similar to himself. But he sometimes also says that an acharya is somebody who teaches by his example. And he expected that all of the devotees would be like that. Because as soon as we accept the process of Krishna consciousness and we place tilak on our foreheads and we dress as a Vaishnava, if we don't try to set a personal example for others, we ourselves will also not advance. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows the heart of every devotee, and according to how much they're trying to cleanse their heart, he will be able to tell by the little pile or the big pile of dirt that is accumulated. Unfortunately, usually we find there's a big load of dirt still there. But he will be watching for that, and he will see. He's training the devotees by his personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anatta nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. So this is a wonderful pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. And as I said, since our class is so short, I think this is all that we can tell today. We'll have to have a course next time where we only tell the different pastimes of Jagannath Puri, and we could do that for 2 weeks. But since we have only an hour, we'll stop here. There's one other thing I just wanted to read, which is the final benedictions given by Kavi Karanpur in his Chaitanya Chandradoya. So this is a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya says, "What more may you do to please me, Lord? You have revealed the most confidential pastimes of Lord Krishna. You have crushed the age of Kali, and you have described the secret meaning of devotional service in pure love for Krishna. You have brought all auspiciousness to the devotees, expert at relishing the mellows of transcendental pastimes, and you have openly revealed the ecstatic, pure, devotional love felt by Sri Radha, the crest jewel of all the gopis." Openly revealed. "I have one request. I think material piety, economic development, and sense gratification are worthless and insignificant. I don't want impersonal liberation. I only want that in the next life I may have the association of your devotees." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "So be it. I will go to Vrindavan, and there I will accept you as my associates, and with my sweet pastimes I will fill your hearts with bliss. To you who have faith in Vrindavan, I will give splendid spiritual forms like my own. That is what I will do for you. Those of you whose hearts are bound to me in this form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if your rasas are friendship or servitude to Sri Sri Radha Madhav or Lord Dwarkadish, or if your rasas are friendship or servitude to any other incarnation, I will make you my eternally liberated associates in Goloka Vrindavan." Advaita said, "So be it. By your desire may you give us all different eternal forms and different eternal residences. We will eternally remember your wonderful transcendental pastimes. I pray that until the end of the kalpa, poets may write books about your transcendental pastimes, actors may act in plays narrating your pastimes, and may the saintly devotees see and hear these plays. When the wicked see and hear these plays, may they become free of envy and filled with happiness. And when the kings of this world see and hear them, may they become filled with devotion to your lotus feet and inspired to always protect their subjects." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "So be it." So then the epilogue says, "By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, this poem is now completed. Blessed by Goddess Saraswati, I have now completed my glorification of the descent of Lord Chaitanya. May the saintly devotees take pleasure in listening to this play. I offer my respectful obeisances to them all. May they who are not devotees not be able to understand my descriptions of these transcendental pastimes." Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says something similar. He says that he is hesitating to tell the intimate pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Radha and Krishna mood. But then he said that he realized that anyone who is not a devotee would not be able to understand the pastimes. So he felt, therefore, he was safe to reveal them. He says, "By the mercy of the Lord, I have written of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as far as I have heard or seen, as far as my intelligence permits. Now, alas, the circle of Lord Chaitanya's dear intimate associates has become only a memory for us. Who hears of his pastimes? Who understands them? I pray that Lord Krishna may become pleased with these words glorifying them. People like us who have personally seen the great devotees of the Lord receive their mercy, and we will not take birth again in this material world. And if we do not take birth here again, then what can death do to us? This is very nice. So, persons who are filled with love for the Lord will never die. And if we die, we will not take birth again in this world. So if we won't take birth here again, what can death do to us? O most auspicious destiny that awaits us, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. Lord Chaitanya, who brought auspiciousness to the entire universe, appeared in this world in the year 1407, AD 1485. And this book, which describes his transcendental pastimes, came from the mouth of a certain devotee in the year 1568. So this is the final invocations of the Kavi Kanpur when he's glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the play form. So I will have to stop here. I don't know if there are any quick questions. You want to pass those around? We have some Gundicha dust, and if we have anyone who misses out, I have more that I can give them. If not, if we can be a couple of minutes late, I'd like to just read one more thing that's very beautiful. This is called Sri Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha. This is written by Chitta Raghunath Das Goswami. This is very, very beautiful. This is his prayers, called the Desire Tree of Prayers to Lord Gauranga. When everyone sees his graceful motions, they revile the graceful mad elephant, and when they see his face, they spit at the moon. He is splendid as a golden mountain, and the waves of his words are nectar. Decorating himself with the jewels of paleness, becoming stunned, stuttering, trembling, shedding tears, and bodily hairs erect with joy, and laughing and perspiring as he dances for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise in my heart and make me mad with love. Staggering about in ecstasy, sprinkling everyone with tears from the reddish syringes of his eyes, joyfully biting his charming lips with his teeth and trembling as he dances, may this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise in my heart and make me mad with love. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya would go to the house of Kazi Mishra. There he would be greatly aggrieved, feeling separation from Krishna. The joints of his transcendental body would slacken and his arms and legs would become elongated. Rolling on the ground, the Lord would cry out in distress in a faltering voice and weep very sorrowfully. How wonderful it is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his residence without opening the three strongly bolted doors. Then he crossed over three high walls, and later, due to strong feelings of separation from Krishna, he fell down amidst the cows of the Tailanga district and retracted his limbs of his body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in that way, rises in my heart and maddens me. Because of separation from his many friends in Vrindavan, who were like his own life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman, and his intelligence was transformed. Day and night, he rubbed his moon-like face against the walls, and blood flowed from the injuries. My dear friend, the doorkeeper, where is Krishna, the Lord of my heart? Kindly show him to me quickly. With these words, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed the doorkeeper like a madman. The doorkeeper grasped his hand and replied very hastily, "Come, come and see your beloved." May that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise within my heart and thus make me mad also. Near Jagannath Puri was a great sand dune, known as Chatak Parvat. Seeing that hill, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, I shall go to the land of Braja and see Govardhan Hill." Then he began running madly to it, and all the Vaishnavas ran after him. This scene awakens in my heart and maddens me. Under a charming pavilion
at the Swing Festival with Swarup Damodar and the other devotees, he sweetly sang the holy names of Lord Krishna. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise in my heart and make me mad with love. As Lord Narayan is kind to Garuda, he is kind to Govinda. As Krishna is devoted to his Guru, he is devoted to Ishwarapuri. As Giridhari loves Subal, he loves Swarup Damodar. Although I am a fallen soul, the lowest of men, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered me from the blazing forest fire of great material opulence by his mercy. He handed me over in great pleasure to Swarup Damodar, his personal associates. Then the Lord gave me a garland of small conch shells that he wore on his chest and a stone from Govardhan Hill, although they were very dear to him. That same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakens within my heart and makes me mad after him. One who, with the water of careful reading, mixed with the medicine of strong faith, waters this celestial tree, its charming branches, the verses of this poem, and the splendor of its flowers, pure love for Lord Gauranga, will reap that tree's heavy fruit, the sight of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Evening aarti ki jai. Should go quickly.